Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our elder daughter, Georgia, was born in 2015. And in anticipation, as many young parents do, Monique and I attended the birthing classes. We read the books. We practiced breathing. We did everything we could do to get ready. But I think somewhere deep down, we also knew that we would never be ready until it happened. But even then, it would take perseverance we were not yet capable of. Giving birth would be a real trial. But if we persevered, there would be joy at the end. Or at least that's what they told us. This morning, I want to encourage us to persevere in our Lenten journey, in the temptations and trials we have set for ourselves. Because if we persevere, the church tells us, we will find joy. We're going to do this by walking through this passage from Matthew chapter 4, which is in your bulletin. I invite you to follow along with me. So first, we set the stage. Jesus is being perfected by what he suffered. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. Jesus, in this story, has just been baptized by John into the Jordan, and immediately he is led into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit has a purpose here. This purpose involves fasting, and it involves being tempted by the devil. In our first lesson this morning, we read about our first parents' failure to persevere in resisting evil, in resisting temptation. Now, we'll get to the three parts of temptation in a minute, but first, I want us, as we're thinking about Jesus' temptation, we're thinking about our temptations, I want us to think about it in this way, that every temptation is also a trial. So every temptation is a trial, but not all trials are temptations. A trial sees what we're made of. And if we overcome in that trial, the trial perfects what we're made of. It both tests us and grows us. And this is important because in the book of Hebrews, the author says that Jesus is made perfect through what he suffers. He had no sin, but he still grows in righteousness. These trials take him further as he takes our nature with him to the cross. Paul calls Jesus the second Adam, where our first parents fail in the temptation in the garden, Jesus will succeed. Because if Jesus is to free his people, then he must face and overcome their accuser. Some things you can never really be ready for. You know, like getting married. You can only get ready for it by doing it. Also, you know, I think this is true for most of us who've had kids, the birth of your first kids. These things are hard. They are trials, but they are good trials. They are trials that see what we're made of. They are trials that make us stronger. Good trials. Now, and I want to say this because sometimes we think that following Jesus means that we get out somehow of the hard stuff of life, even the good trials. But following Jesus does not get us out of the hard things. In fact, our baptismal covenants, which we will recite again at the vigil of Easter, the baptismal covenant commits us to a set of trials as we follow God. So together with the Eucharist, the baptismal covenant is a cornerstone of our belief and worship. This is one of the reasons that we try to reaffirm our baptismal vows at least four times a year. It begins with the Apostles' Creed, a basic statement of our belief, then continues with five promises. And these are good things, but you better believe that they're hard. They are trials. At the test, they test who we are, and they also make us stronger. Now, through Jesus' life to this point, he has been preparing for this first encounter with the evil one. He knew his mission, to die to save the world. But could he accept it? Could he accept it being challenged? Especially when he was tempted to get what he wanted the easy way? So Jesus wants some things that are good. First, Jesus wanted to feed the hungry, I think including himself. The story says he hasn't eaten for 40 days and he was famished. The tempter comes with a temptation. The tempter comes with the easy way out. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In the story, the tempter knows who Jesus is. He knows who he's dealing with, and he also knows where to attack. Jesus hadn't become a human being who was somehow untouched by or above the temptations of the flesh. He had become a human being among human beings, knowing our experience to its core. It was a long shot, but temptation could work. The tempter gave Jesus a chance to do what he wanted to do, to feed himself and his hunger, as we see later in his ministry, to feed the hungry of Israel. He gave Jesus a chance to do what he wanted to do, without the pain of doing it. How did Jesus reply? "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He quoted scripture to the tempter. He acknowledged that God came first. We can be tempted but to sin, as Jesus is here. We can also be tempted to lesser goods, like, say, the temptation to give up one of our Lenten disciplines. Every temptation, whether to sin or not, has three parts. I'm just walk through these quickly. So let's assume that you've given up sweets for Lent, all right? The first part of any temptation is the suggestion, the becoming aware of an opportunity. So you're walking through the mall, as one does, and you walk by the cookie company, and you've given up sweets for Lent, but all of a sudden this smell crosses your nose. There's a suggestion. This is the beginning of temptation. The suggestion is not a sin. It's not a giving in. And then there's the delight. Suggestion, then delight. This is your mouth starting to water as you smell this cookie. Now, a lot of times we think that when our mouth starts to water, we have already sinned. But this is not what the church teaches. The delight, this automatic response to the suggestion, is still not a sin. It is the act of will that follows these two things. This is when sin comes into the picture, or when we've traded a greater good for a lesser good. Like, say, giving yourself over to fantasizing about the cookie. Or just buying and eating the cookie, right? The suggestion, the delight, we only give in to the temptation when we move with our will towards whatever is being offered to us. And so reading back into this text, we can say that Jesus experienced the suggestion of this bread. And his body reacted just like ours would. And it's because of this that the book of Hebrews can tell us that Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. He knows it all the way down. But he chose God first so that we could too. But just because we can choose God first doesn't mean it's easy, right? There aren't any shortcuts. Like giving birth to a child, there is no way out. But we can be, there's no easy way out, but we can be as prepared as we possibly can be. Funny thing, the birthing classes don't get you out of the birth. The parenting classes don't get you out of the parenting. Our spiritual lives don't get us out of the hard stuff either. All these things help us prepare. And returning to the baptismal covenant now, the first promise of the baptismal covenant is this preparation. It's a promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. So we promise to continue in what the scripture teaches us and to continue in that teaching in the fellowship of others. We promise to continue in the Eucharist. We promise to continue in daily acts of prayer. This first promise prepares us to respond to temptation. It prepares us to be able to say, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. They don't get us out of temptation, but they make us ready to face it. Jesus wanted to feed the hungry, including himself, but he chose God first. Second, Jesus wanted people to acknowledge him and his mission, and again the tempter offered the easy way out. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil quotes scripture back to Jesus. Just like the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the devil asked, "Did God really say that? Do you really have to do it this way? Do you really have to go to a cross and live a life of suffering and pain?" But Jesus, schooled by the scriptures, raised by worship, responded, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." In 2015, the contraction started in the middle of the night. We woke up bleary and we started the routine. I'm sure I'm getting many of these details wrong. It was very early in the morning. We woke up bleary and started the routine. I pushed the furniture in the living room out of the way, and we started walking in circles around the room. There was not going to be an easy way out of this, and there was no way to know how long it was going to take. All that we could do was persevere. The second question of the baptismal covenant, appropriately then, asks, "Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord." Most of us, including me, resist one temptation only to fall quickly to the next. And it's the kind of logic that, if we take our Lent example a step further, it's like, well, I didn't eat that chocolate cookie, so I'll buy this candy bar, right? I didn't give in to this temptation, so I'll give in to this one because I've earned it. And really, a Snickers bar is full of nuts. Like, there's protein, right? It's more like a meal. But Jesus here, in the face of this first temptation and in the face of a second, perseveres. He keeps showing up for God even when it's hard. We promise to persevere in resisting evil too, acknowledging that when we fall into sin, we will repent and return to the Lord. Now, Jesus really did want people to acknowledge him and his mission, but he chose God's way instead. The final good thing that Jesus wanted, that Jesus is tempted about in this passage, is that Jesus wanted to unite the world within God's kingdom. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Through the passion of his life and death, through his resurrection and ascension, through the slow working of his grace through history, through his long-suffering patience with the frailties of our human nature, Jesus will one day, we confess, have the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. But that path went through the cross. The devil gave him the option to get those kingdoms and their splendor without the pain, without the sacrifice. But Jesus persevered. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. At some point, Monique and I found ourselves at the hospital in the thick of it. We were breathing together. We were holding on together. Things were at their hardest right before Georgia was born, and then she was here. She was there on Monique's chest. As it was with Jenny's birth as well, something new and wonderful had been born into the world. The third baptismal promise is to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. That is, to bring something new and wonderful into the world. In our passage, Jesus proclaimed even to the devil itself the good news of God. When we are strengthened by word and sacrament and the apostles' fellowship, when we resist temptation and repent when we don't, we are in a position to share with our lips and with our lives the good news. We become good news. It becomes good news when we walk into the room. We bring something new and wonderful into the world. The fact that God can bring good out of the evil of temptation does not make the temptation good. I want to make sure that that is clear. It doesn't mean that temptation is good because God can bring good out of this evil. It shows how good God is and the power of his resurrection love. What good does God bring through temptation? In temptation overcome, God binds us to himself and brings us to joy. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The trial of the fasting and the temptation in the wilderness was a lot, but Jesus persevered. And because of his perseverance, he experienced the very angels of heaven tending him like servants. His perseverance led to joy. In the quiet after birth, a trial over, I could feel this binding happening, this very natural process. To Monique, to Georgia, to the life that we were going to share, we had persevered. We had done something really hard together, and I had the very smallest part of it. That's a tie, though, that is hard to break. The same thing is true of our Lenten journey. By embracing a trial that tests who we are and makes us stronger, we practice for the real temptation when it comes. By overcoming temptation, by persevering and resisting evil, we find ourselves bound to God in ways we could not have imagined before. Jesus persevered in resisting evil, empowering us to do the same. So keep showing up for God, for each other. Keep showing up even when it's hard. If we persevere, we will find this joy together. Because in that showing up, in walking that hard path, in that growing stronger, we can have no idea what God is bringing to birth in us and through us in the world. We can have no idea what God is bringing to birth through us. We have words for it. It is kingdom. It is peace. It is joy. It is the fruit of the Spirit that will feed the hungry, show the world who Jesus is, and take small steps towards that time when Jesus returns to set all things right. So persevere, friends. Let us persevere together. Trust God in this Lenten season. Allow him to use this trial and the temptations that come with it to bring something new and wonderful to birth through you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.